And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God.
So, Parashat Be'alotcha, second chance to the people of Israel.
That's right, that's right. You know, in this week's Torah portion, we can read about that God commands Aaron to raise the lights and lamps of the menorah, and it's also brought down, as you just said, a second Passover is instituted in response to the petition by the Jewish people. Why should we be deprived? And who was this being made by? Made by a group of Jews who were unable to bring the Passover offering in its appointed time because they were ritually impure. And God gives them that second chance to be able to go and bring it up.
So that's how we have the second Passover?
That's right, a month later. And the whole message of the second Passover is to teach us that every single person, regardless in whatever stage of life you're standing, God always gives us second chances. There's always a second chance to re-impress and to redo what we were supposed to do originally. And obviously, as well as we also talk about the manna, the mon, the food, the bread from heaven, which, you know, obviously the Jews weren't happy. They were dissatisfied with their bread from heaven, and they demanded that Moses supply them with meat, and so on and so forth.
They didn't like the vegetarian menu.
That's right. That's right. But even though it says, as we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, that whatever they wanted the manna to taste like, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Now, obviously, as it's brought down in this week's Torah portion, the two psukim, the two verses, which it says, the children of Israel began to cry, and they said, who will feed us meat? What? We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt, free of charge, the cucumbers, the watermelons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now, our bodies are dried out, for there is nothing at all. We have nothing but manna to look at. So, it's interesting to note, you know, besides its abundance and accessibility, and obviously they didn't pay for anything, there was no price tag, the manna was the perfect food. You know, they didn't pay any money for it. It came as whenever they needed it, it was right there. Now, nutritionally, it contained zero waste for access. It was 100% absorbed by the body, and it's brought down in the explanation of the Mepharshim. And those who went strictly on a strict manna diet actually had no need even to relieve themselves. And spiritually, the manna was something from the divine light. The same diet with which the supernal angels consume. It's what the angels eat, the same thing. And according to the Talmud, according to the Gemara, the manna's spiritual qualities had a profound effect on its eaters. And the Torah, it says further on in the Gemara, could only be given to who? To manna eaters.
Yeah.
People that eat the manna. And to top it all off, according to the tradition, the manna miraculously assumes any taste which the person eating it wanted it to be. Now imagine, you know, if one of your kids come home and says, Dad or Mom, what's for dinner tonight? And you ask them, you say, anything you wish. That would be a very convenient reply. Well, that's really nothing what the manna was. They had to have dinner or lunch, and they came crying to their mothers, what is it for us to eat? Whatever you want it to be, you can eat. Imagine that. That would stop a lot of fights and a lot of aggravation in houses with kids not exactly liking everything that the mom or dad makes for dinner. Now, a person's nature, an inborn nature of every person, has to find an outlet in a person's life. And incredibly, the Israelites found reason, you know, to argue, to grumble, to be upset. They wanted free real meat. In other words, without depleting their own herds in order to satisfy their craving. because the quote on a couple of perversions, the only thing that it didn't, the month didn't really taste like was meat. So they didn't want to deplete their own, they wanted real meat. Even though the mana might have had a little bit of a taste of meat, but it wasn't meat. It wasn't, you know, like a nice steak, a chewy steak, or whatever it may be. You didn't feel that it was a steak.
Yeah.
And the cost of mana was, was prohibitive, because the cost, in essence, really didn't cost them anything, but there was a little bit of a cost. The cost was the observance of the mitzvot.
Yeah.
And three, the mana refused to assume the taste of several vegetables, which were harmful for a nursing mother to infants. So if that vegetable, whatever vegetable they say nowadays, garlic or whatever it is, broccoli, I don't remember everything it is, but whatever vegetable is not good for a mother to have while nursing, the mana would never taste like that. So, obviously, this begs the question, this doesn't make sense. Is this a lack of our gratitude? And to thank God for what he's given us, is there so much greed? Or, on the other hand, maybe they're right. Now, obviously, it's the human nature never to be satisfied with one current position and achievement. You always want more. You know, the Mishnah declares that one who has 100 desires 200, and then when he gets 200, the person will pray 400.
That's the greediness.
That's right, and it keeps on going. Because God has imbued us with this nature for a good reason. Its purpose is to constantly impel a person forward in his spiritual quest, not allowing him to be content with spiritual heights scaled yesterday. I reached such a great height yesterday. That's great, but that was yesterday. That's not today. This nature is also the spark which continuously derives, scientists. If scientists would say that they're happy with their findings of yesterday, we would never get anywhere. They always want to unearth new discoveries inventors want to originate new inventions. So it's all something that we constantly want to strive to get more, to get more, to get more. And we need to be able to also, you know, this improves our quality of life. This leaving us added time and energy to devote to the service and the serving of God. Now, if this quality is not used in the pursuit of positive and productive objectives, for example, our greed that we want more constantly, then it deteriorates into something that's a pointless desire for more and more luxury and more wealth. Because man is blessed with a creative imagination, always capable of wanting always another necessity, without really honestly needing it. And you won't rest until you get there.
So that's part of the human nature.
Correct. So God has imbued it. God has made that part of our nature. But we need to be able to take that and bring it a step further, put into spirituality. You know, think about it. If we would resurrect a person who lived, you know, a century ago, and we would drop him in the Western nation, he would absolutely be convinced that Messiah has arrived. Because the differences in the daily life that we have today is so different than our ancestors lived a few generations ago.
Of course, and all the technology and internet and computers.
Correct.
And
correct. So the revised person will rightfully thank God for his tremendous kindness, for affording his creatures the means of living lives of tremendous prosperity and ease and comfort, but he would appreciate that. We, on the other hand, we would never appreciate that. We need more. It will probably take no more than, I think, you know, if we take that person as our example man, it would take no more than that person, maybe 3 weeks for that person to stop marveling about this miracle of air conditioning, and now he's going to start complaining about the high energy bills. So everything is, once you're part of that society, once you're part of their life, is you need more. You're not happy with what you have. Even though what we have should give us the ability and time to be able to have more time to be able to serve God better. But no, we need more time to figure out how we're going to get more of our luxury, how we're going to get more greed. And the Torah only speaks of historical events, which, as we always talk about it, which has a relevance to all of our generations. Because the story of the manna has a very powerful moral, very, very powerful story, which is that we need to strive for more and better in the areas of not our luxury in our life, but of our character, of good deeds, our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our friends, our relationship with our family. However, we always have to be happy with the material goodness and bounty that God has granted us. So we have to be happy with that. What we have is, obviously, this is what God has decided us to have. This is what God wants us to have. And obviously, this is enough for us to have. We don't need to be greedy. We don't need to have more. The fact that we want more and more and more, when we get 400, 400 is not enough. We want 1,000. That's greed. And that doesn't give us the ability to continue doing the spiritual aspect of this, of what we have to do in this world, is bringing God in us down here and connecting and having a one-on-one connection between us and God. And that we should want to have more greed. We want more of God. We want more of Torah, more of Mitzvot. That's a great thing. Why? Because that gives us the ability to continue our spiritual life with God. It's not that we shouldn't have any wantings and yearnings in the physical world. We should. But we should know that, you know, there are certain limits. We don't need to have everything and everything and everything and everything. We can have a little bit, have enough what we need, have a little bit more than we need, put away our savings for our kids, or whatever it may be, but have our priorities straight. And that's what the manna comes to teach us in this Torah portion.
Rabbi, what about the services in Shaarei Tzedek?
Services are Friday evening, 7:15, Shabbat morning, 9 o'clock, as well as Sunday morning at the Shaar Shemaim at 8:15 in the morning, followed by breakfast every Sunday morning.
Good. So, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a good and healthy week.
Shabbat Shalom to you too.
And looking forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Bye-bye.